My name is Dr. Daniel Kellner. I'm a urologist at Yale Medicine, which is a multi-specialty group in the Yale School of Medicine. And I'm a general urologist, but I have a special interest in BPH and men's health. I practice in New Haven, Connecticut, but I also have offices in Madison, Connecticut and Hampton, Connecticut.
We're talking this morning with Dr. Daniel Kellner of Yale Medicine, and you are a urologist and you have an emphasis on men's health. Is it a struggle, first of all, to get guys to see a urologist in the first place?
I think typically men are less likely to want to go to the doctor. Unfortunately, you can't avoid your bladder. And many times people are certainly, they're very aggravated by their situation. And so they'll end up making an appointment because if you ignore a problem, it doesn't really go away. Or sometimes we'll have a friend who had a similar situation and kind of clue them in that there is help. So many men who come to me, they've come to me because they have a friend who had a similar experience or a coworker who had a similar experience. And then obviously they're prompted sometimes by their significant other to come in, you know, girlfriend, wife, partner, because someone else is recognizing that they're having difficulty with their bladder.
Let's go over the symptoms and how severe do the symptoms have to get before you consider some of the procedures that we're going to talk about today?
When men have BPH, the prostate is typically the size of a walnut, and it can continue to grow, and it can obstruct the urethra, and that's the tube that empties the bladder. Mm. And the prostate doesn't have to be big to constrict that tube. And symptoms could be increased frequency to urinate, increased urgency to urinate, a slower stream, or the stream could be hesitant or intermittent, or there may be more getting up at night to urinate. These things could affect the quality of life. So in other words, sometimes men will be distracted at work. They'll be thinking about, you know, where a bathroom is, or if they go shopping or they're driving. They're always kind of aware of where a bathroom is, or they make sure they have to urinate before they go anywhere. And so the symptoms could be quite subtle, but there could be a more serious underlying problem because men could actually be developing urinary retention. And they're aware of the symptoms they're having, but they're not aware that they're retaining urine. And when that urine is retained in the bladder, it could actually start to cause problems with the bladder, where the bladder will start to retain urine, and the bladder could get quite large. And that pressure could even back up to the kidneys and cause kidney damage. And if the bladder's not emptying properly, it could lead to other problems, such as urinary tract infections, bladder stones. Other things could be a problem. So men may be aware of subtle symptoms, but they're not going to necessarily be aware that there's a more ominous problem that may be happening that they're not aware of.
So where do you come in, and how do you fix these problems?
When a man comes to me and they have urinary problems, the first thing I do is simply do a history and a physical. I try to assess the degree of their problems. We have a questionnaire we often use called the AUA symptom score, the American Urologic Symptom Score, which is a series of questions. And it often kind of gauge how severe a patient or a man's symptoms are. And often we could categorize them as kind of mild, moderate, or severe symptoms. We also have ways of measuring the bladder to see if it empties. We call that a post-void residual. And then we also assess things that may be contributing to the urinary symptoms, such as excessive caffeine intake, alcohol intake, certain medications that are prescribed, such as diuretics, which could cause urinary symptoms. So that's how we initially evaluate a man.
What has to happen for you to decide to go to the Urolift, let's say?
When a man has difficulty with urinating, and first thing we do is lifestyle modifications, typically we'll try men on medications. And there are different medications that can relax the prostate, make it easier to pass the urine. If a man is not having a good response to medications, side effects from medications, or simply does not want to take medicine, we could think of alternative options such as the Urolift. Now, the Urolift is a procedure that is done where you put an implant into the prostate, and it holds the prostate tissue in an unobstructed way, basically opening the channel and making it easier to urinate. Now, one of the appeals of the Urolift is it often can be done right in the office with a local anesthetic, and there is a relatively quick recovery and significant improvement in urinary symptoms.
But it doesn't fix the enlarged prostate. Is the prostate still enlarged?
So when you do the Urolift, you're not removing any tissue. You're not burning any tissue. Nothing is being removed. You're simply taking the tissue that's obstructing, and by putting these implants in, you move the tissue into an unobstructed way. I mean, you can think of something like a, you know, like a hose. If you basically have your thumb partly over a hose, it really changes the flow of the liquid. All right, by moving your thumb out of the way, the flow is going to change a lot. And so with the Urolift, it's similar. If you basically move that tissue out of the way, and you don't necessarily have to move it very far, the airflow is going to be much better. And when that happens, then typically the other symptoms start to get better too, such as the frequency of urinating, the urgency to urinate. So one of the appeals of the Urolift for many men as well is there are no documented sexual side effects. because many of the other surgeries that we do or some of the medications that we give sometimes interfere with the ability to ejaculate or could sometimes even cause problems with erections. So the UroLift has really no documented sexual side effects. So that is very appealing to many men.
Does it return a guy to normal, not maybe to his 20s, but does it return him to a normal urinary flow then?
At times, there's a very, very remarkable improvement with the UroLift. I mean, I think it is very important that a man is properly selected. There are certain anatomies that are very good for a UroLift procedure. I think there are other anatomies where a person really is not a good candidate for the UroLift. And if they're not a good candidate for the UroLift, the fortunate thing is we actually have many other procedures that could be done which could help a man.
By anatomy, what do you mean?
I mean the prostate anatomy. The size of the prostate and the shape of the prostate has to be determined. There are certain shapes of the prostate, just basically where the tissue is located and how it's constricting, which could determine if the UroLift is a good procedure or not. So I think it's really up to the experience of the urologist to kind of distinguish who is a good candidate for UroLift and who isn't. It's not a good procedure across the board for every man. I think every man has to be evaluated. Oftentimes, we have to do what's called a cystoscopy, where we look directly inside the prostate at the tissue, and then we could figure out if the person is a good candidate for the UroLift.
Do you usually need to do a UroLift again down the road, or is it once and done usually?
The UroLift has very, very good durability. When it was approved by the FDA, there was a trial called the LIFT trial, which looked at five-year follow-up, and the retreatment rate, the surgical retreatment rate for UroLift is about 13-14%. So most men at 5 years are going to be okay with after having the UroLift, but there will be a certain percentage of men who may need to go on to have either another UroLift or a different procedure to help them.
What is recovery like for UroLift?
Most men after a UroLift will experience some irritative urinary symptoms, so they may have some urgency or frequency to urinate, some burning with urination, some blood in the urine, and this usually goes on for a few days. And then it seems to kind of get better. Over a few weeks, there may be maybe mild symptoms. And over the course of several weeks, then you start to see the improvement in the urination.
There are other procedures, though, that address BPH. And you want to talk about one of them today that you do.
Right. So I'd like to talk about a procedure called the HoLEP, which is holmium laser enucleation of prostate. And this is a very unique procedure. At Yale Medicine, we are the only group in Connecticut that actually performs this procedure. Surgical technique, which is minimally invasive, where you go inside the prostate with a scope, and you're able to basically peel out the inside of the prostate like you're peeling out the inside of an orange. And the nice thing about this procedure is it's really complete removal of the inside of the prostate, and there's very little bleeding. Similar to if you're peeling an orange and you're in the right plane, there's very little juice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just think of that juice as blood. So when you get into the right plane, you could basically peel out the inside of the prostate. So it's really complete removal of the inside of the prostate. And then we use an instrument called the morcellator, which removes the tissue. So there's no incision. And with this procedure, you can treat any size prostate. So for very, very, very large prostates, men have very few options to be able to treat them. And they often have to consider an open surgical approach, which is very morbid. And it requires several days in the hospital, potentially a lot of bleeding. With the procedure called the HoLEP, we can do these surgeries without any incisions, and most of our patients go home the same day. And actually, we have very little pain. Actually, I don't even prescribe pain medication with this procedure because men really don't complain of pain with the procedure.
Now, the way you describe it, I would think that it would rely really on the skill of the surgeon and the artistry of the surgeon.
It's a difficult surgery to learn. There is certainly a learning curve, and I think you need to be a dedicated surgeon who really wants to focus on this procedure. This is not a procedure that's done casually by any urologist. So for someone who's doing a HoLEP, you really kind of have to be dedicated to the art of doing this procedure. So we have a very successful program at Yale. We've been doing them since 2019, and actually we have patients who are coming from all over Connecticut and even outside states such as Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New York, because they hear about this procedure, and once they find out about it, they have a lot of interest.
What is the benefit of the HoLEP over the UroLift?
So the UroLift is really good for patients who have prostates that are kind of on the smaller side. The original approval of the UroLift was for prostates from 30 to 80 grams, and now it's just been extended from 30 to 100 grams. With the HoLEP procedure, you can do any size prostate. You can do prostates that are even several hundred grams. And the HoLEP is really good for any prostate versus the UroLift is going to be good on select prostates based on the anatomy.
And what is the recovery like for HoLEP?
So most patients will go home the same day after the HOLEP. They live far away. Sometimes we'll keep them overnight. And usually we keep a catheter in for a day or two. After the catheter comes out, they should not do any heavy lifting or strenuous activity for about 2 or 3 weeks. But they can drive, they can walk, they can shower. And after 2 or 3 weeks, they can start to do normal activity again.
I notice that there are ads online and on television and on radio for some of these procedures that you never used to see before. I guess it was taboo. Is the taboo around this topic lifting, do you think? Or why are we talking about it more and seeing more of this, in your view?
Well, I think that the reason we're seeing a lot more of this on TV and other places, this is marketing. There is a business aspect in terms of, you know, products that are being used. But it also comes with good intention. I mean, there is a huge, huge need for men who are having difficulty urinating who need care. And so I think it is good that men are being made aware of different options, making this conversation come to life, you know, versus something that you just don't talk about. I mean, I think some men, they just accept that part of aging is having difficulty urinating, getting up many times at night, you know, not being able to sit through a movie without having to get up a few times. And it really doesn't have to be that way. There are treatments that are available. And it's just a matter of kind of looking for those treatments and finding out what's right for you.
Must be a lot of satisfaction doing what you do.
It's very satisfying. So my focus is really men's health, but really my passion is treating BPH. It's very, very black and white. I mean, when you have someone who can't urinate and they may have a catheter in, and then you can do a procedure, and then the next day they're able to urinate like they're 10 years old again. I mean, it's a very, very satisfying. So there's no school of delayed gratification. I mean, you get some gratification very quickly when you treat BPH, you're able to help someone urinate. And I think I make a lot of lifelong friends by doing this procedure. So it's one of the things that I really enjoy.
Well, I can tell your passion really comes through. Anything else that you want to add on either the UroLift or the HOLEP?
I think there are many different options for men. I think it's important that basically they make an appointment, you know, to see the urologist, to be able to go over the different options that are available. I think men are pretty savvy these days, what they can learn on the internet. Many of them come in with some knowledge of what's available. And then when they come in, I can kind of tailor the right approach to the person based on what their desire is. Is their number one desire to preserve sexual function, but they want to urinate better? Or is their desire to have one procedure where they're going to have the best urinating they'll ever be able to achieve and never need another surgery again? So we can kind of tailor what the treatment is to the patient and what their desire is.
Well, you've given us a lot of information, and I want to thank you for taking the time.
Oh, thank you.